one down, two to go. Down, Nicky Ash, the pathetic fraudster. Still to go, Trevor Deansgate, nobbler of horses. Still to be unmasked, the brains behind the racehorse syndicate corruption. Before I set off for Newmarket, Ken Armadale from Equine Research told me the wonderful news that he'd arranged for some of the antibiotic which could cure Trinitro's life-threatening ailment to be made available to me. I rang Chico from my hotel bedroom.
Come with me tomorrow.
Newmarket, what for?
Bodyguard.
What, you still think those boatmen are...
No. Trevor Deansgate, he'll know by now from his brother.
You afraid he'll duff you up?
Yeah.
I never thought I'd live to see the day. Okay then, I'll come.
All right, thanks, mate. Now, 9 o'clock, outside the Jockey Club, and Lucas Wainwright's coming too, remember?
Right, see ya.
Yeah, bye.
Actually, Lucas insisted we travelled up with him in his expensive Mercedes, leaving my scimitar in the car park. I'd predicted a degree of turbulence in my encounter with the Caspers, and my forecast was accurate.
You, Hurley! Get out! How dare you show your nose in here, you phony!
George, would you make your wife listen to what we've come to tell you?
George did, and Lucas unfolded a tale of pig disease and bad hearts that froze the blood of the trainer and his wife. It was their minds that were numb, though, when Lucas dropped the name of Trevor Deansgate.
But Trevor's a friend.
Did you let him near Tryon Nitro after the training gallop?
Sunday morning he came. He likes slapping horses. Slaps their rumps.
I'm going to look a damn fool in court, filling my yard with guards, then taking Deansgate in myself.
I told you, Sid Halley, they were being novel. You didn't believe me.
Now, be fair, Mrs. Casper. Sid did believe you. Sid, who did all the investigating, not the Jockey Club.
I've got a present for you, Rosemary. I got it from Ken Armadale of Equine Research. It's a course of rare antibiotics that can cure Trinitro.
God, cure him?
Absolutely. Here you are, Rosemary. Only sorry it was too late for the guineas.
Sid. Oh. Thank you.
Before we left the vicinity, Lucas insisted on getting the story from the horse doctor's mouth. Ken Armadale admitted that a jury might not think the evidence in Trinitro's case very firm as yet, and thought they were better sticking to Gleaner. We didn't get back to London until 5 o'clock. Lucas dropped us in the car park and we made our way to the scimitar. There was a two-horse trailer parked next to it. Odd, I thought. Preoccupied, I dropped my keys and bent to pick them up.
You! Aye, laddie. Us. Get in the trailer pronto. I'll give your friend another tap or two. On the eyes, laddie. On the base of the brain. Yeah,
all right. Ready, back. Go on.
Remember, laddie, I'll be travelling with your friend next door. If you try shouting, he'll end up with no face.
After all my efforts to be unpredictable, after I'd kept away from my flat and from Ainsford and the Cavendish, from all the routine places, I've been picked up at the Jockey Club. I'd agreed to go with Lucas and left my own car in full view. Fool.
Oops, Harley.
You had move.
Yeah, all right. Oh, suits you, that pitchfork. All you need now is horns and a tail.
Watch it.
I see.
Now, you know where we are, Chico. Ramillies' farm, remember? Yeah.
Cut the cattle, laddie, or he won't remember anything ever again.
Oh, I'm talking of the devil.
You keep your snotty nose out, Ellie, after we've finished with you.
Oh, well, dear, Harley, back against the wall.
He says, laddie.
Aye, you'll do, dear. Now keep your head still or you'll get the prong through your neck instead of round it. Don't say to me, mind you. Dear, I should hold you. Try to make a lot of that and you'll strangle yourself.
Keep your hand on the fork, Mark, all the same.
Yeah.
Right, laddie. Fix your eyes on me and your friend here. Take it in good. Yeah, you thought this was a belt to hold the breeks up with you, eh? You hear that? Eh? Music for the ears, don't you think? Now, let's see if we can't get a song out of your friend here.
Yeah! Bastards! Yeah! Bastards! Yeah! No use pulling, Harry. Lean back and enjoy the spectacle. Yeah! I think that's enough, don't you? He's dead for the one. Yeah! Well, get back to Harry, you fool. She's getting lit.
Like it, laddie.
Dash! Get him off me, Mac! He was over that tin arm!
I warn you, you stupid sort of late. How do you fight? I get...
Give him another.
Well, swell the fun. I want him conscious for a bit.
Kill him.
No chance.
He's broken my jaw.
Kill him yourself, or we're not doing it. Been down here too long. Too many people seen us.
I want you to kill him.
Hey. But you're not paying the piper, are you, Mr. Ramillies, eh? Mm. We've done what we were ordered.
Give me the child.
Eh?
You...
If you break your assurance, I'll do what I said I'd do.
You're afraid of this thing, aren't you?
I'm sorry, Chico. I am sorry.
Are you asleep?
Oh.
You look all sweaty. Are you hot?
Does your dad know you're here?
No, he doesn't. I was in bed and I heard some shouting.
Mark, come here. Where's your dad now?
He's in the sitting room with those friends.
Yeah.
He's hurt his face and he's bloody angry.
Mark.
One of his friends said his eardrum was blocked.
Mark, listen. Will you show me how clever you are?
What?
That man over. Out there.
It's Dad.
Yeah, I'm there. Go and see if the keys are still in it, and then come back and tell me. Can you do that?
Of course I can. Wait a minute.
Chico. Wake up.
I'm burning. Did you get it too?
Yeah.
We'll
talk later. Get your
bed.
Come on.
No. Here you go.
Oh, walk.
Is he drunk?
Yeah, I think he must be. Did you see the keys?
Yes, I did.
Thanks, Mark. Now, you better get back to bed now, because if your dad catches you, he'll be bloody angry with you. You wouldn't that, would you, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't.
No. Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, and, leave the door open.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Right, remember Chico now. We've got some transplants. Come on, remember the door.
Sid? Is it you?
Yeah.
It's after midnight.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Charles.
Well, jiggered. And Chico. You better come in.
Dr. Gunn, then, Charles?
Against my better judgment, I can tell you. If you're in anything like the state that Chico's in. Still, Chico's had some attention. Time you got to bed, at least. I can't give you a sleeping tablet.
Please, but I don't want sedating. That's the point. I've got some thinking to do. Come on, you go.
Sid?
Now.
Jenny's right. You are a stubborn devil. Night, then.
Night.
I forced myself to think of the punishment Chico and I had received. It was too much, he'd said, and indeed it was. Why, I asked myself, what was the real reason for it? The pain sharpened my wits, and the conclusions my brain came up with were devastating. I telephoned Louise and told her I couldn't make it that day after all. She made no fuss, bless her, and I lay on my bed wishing she were there, and fell asleep. In the evening, I went down to the drawing room and sat on the sofa. Somebody walked in. But it wasn't Charles.
What are you doing here?
Waiting for your father.
Oh.
Come and sit down. Saw your boyfriend 3 days ago in Bristol.
Nicky?
Who else? He looks like me a bit, don't you think?
It never struck me.
No. You were trying to go back, recapture our past.
It's not true.
He's living with another girl. He's not worthy of you, Jenny. Get him out of your system.
I hate you.
I'll get no pleasure out of getting him convicted of fraud instead of you if you don't wake up and see him for what he is.
Jenny.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, got the photos, Charles.
They're good.
Yeah? Well, they are. Right, take a look, Jenny. Jenny, look at them.
The lady's called Elizabeth Moore, and he is really Ned Abbott. And she signs the letters now.
All right, then. Turn him in. You've won again, Sid. You have to. Always. I want someone who's not afraid of emotion. Someone weaker. I can't live in the sort of purgatory you make of life. I want someone who can break down. I want an ordinary man. Daddy, you can tell your lawyer, Mr. Quayle. I'm cured of Nicky and I won't be obstructive from now on. I think I'll go back to the flat now. I feel a lot better. Goodbye, Sid.
Bye, love. She wouldn't have said these things if she knew with what craven feelings I contemplated tomorrow's journey to London. Charles drove me in the Rolls and deposited me at the door of the Jockey Club while he parked. Then we went straight to Sir Thomas's office into what was, in some ways, an absurd action replay of the previous hearing, but in significant ways, different.
Ah, sit down, Charles. Sid, your father-in-law telephoned to say you have something even more disturbing than that Deansgate business.
It's about syndicates.
Sid, this is not going to end here, simply between you and me, is it? We better have some of the very top brass in again, okay? What do you say?
Who are they?
The controller of the Secretariat, the head of administration, the secretary to the stewards, the licensing officer, and the head of rules department.
Hmm? Well, that's all fine.
I've taken the liberty of putting them on standby. Tell the gentleman I'm ready for them, please, Francis. No tape this time, Sid? No Chico?
He's indisposed at the moment.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no, he'll be here in spirit, though. You'll see what I mean.
Ah, gentlemen. Come in. Seat yourselves. Right. Once again, Sid, the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. Well, gentlemen, I was asked by Lord Fryerly, whom I used to ride for, to look into four syndicates which he headed. The horses were running in his colours and he wasn't happy about their performance. He felt he was being used as a front. Now, on the same day at Kempton, your Director of Security, Commander Lucas Wainwright, asked me to look into the same four syndicates, which I must say had been so thoroughly manipulated that it was a wonder they were in a public scandal already. Now, he told me that all four syndicates had been vetted and okayed by Eddie Keith, and he asked me to find out if there was any unwelcome significance in that. He told me about a man called Mason he'd sent out on the same errand as myself 6 months ago. Mason had been attacked, dumped in the streets of Tunbridge Wells and with appalling head injuries. Lucas also told me that the man who had formed the syndicates and manipulated them lived in Tunbridge Wells, a Peter Ramillies. Now, Chico Barnes, my assistant, you'll remember him, gentlemen, from the other day.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
now, Chico and I went down to see Peter Ramillies. He was away, and so I had a look around. I was looking for a direct tie-in with Eddie Keith, but I didn't find it. Now, Lucas warned me at the beginning that as what I was doing was unofficial, I couldn't be paid, but that he'd give me help if I needed it. So, I asked him to help me with the business of Trevor Deansgate, and he did.
In what way, sir?
Well, I asked him to write to Henry Thrace to make sure the Jockey Club and I, well, both, would hear at once if Gleaner or Zingaloo died. Now, you'll remember that, gentlemen, yes?
Yes, yes.
Well, then I found Peter Ramillies on my heels with two very large thugs imported from Scotland, and there was also a rumour of someone high up in the security service who would fix things for crooks if properly paid.
Who told you that?
A reliable source.
Go on.
Well, I wasn't making progress with the syndicates, but Ramillies apparently thought I was because he and his guerrillas laid an ambush for Chico and me the day before yesterday.
Wasn't that the day you were going to Newmarket with Lucas to see the Casper?
Yes, and we did go. And I made the mistake of leaving my car in full view near here all day. The two men were waiting beside it when we got back. Chico and I were abducted and finished up at Ramillies' place in Tunbridge Wells. They gave us a pretty rough time. In the end, though, we managed to escape. But about that point, I began to see things the other way round.
Well, how do you mean?
Until then, I thought the two Scotsmen were supposed to be preventing us from finding what we were looking for in those syndicates. But supposing it was exactly the reverse. Supposing I'd been pointed at those syndicates in order to be led to the ambush. And Suppose the ambush itself was the whole aim of the exercise.
What did I say, Sidney? Are you all right?
No.
Plausible.
Yes, I'm fine. It's all right. You see, I was shown an enemy, Peter Ramillies, given a reason for being beaten up, the syndicates, led to expect what Mason got. That supposing someone wanted to attack me, but it was imperative that I didn't find out who or why. You know, if I was given a false who and a false why, I'd believe those and not look any further. Now, once I saw it this new way, there was only one possible who. The person who had laid the trail for me to follow, Lucas Wainwright himself.
You can't say things like that.
I didn't enjoy doing it, and if you'd rather I didn't say anything, then I don't mind going.
All right, Sid. Sit down again. We'll listen.
Chico and I are the victims of our own success. People stopped seeing me as a jockey and found themselves having to take us seriously as sleuths, a real menace to the big crooks. But the Scotsmen weren't engaged to murder us, though. No. Murder would spark off another unwelcome police investigation. So the next best thing is an ultimate deterrent. Something that would make us pack up investigating altogether. Now, imagine for a moment, gentlemen, that there is someone in the security services who can be bribed. Now, would you, if you were Lucas, be happy for an outsider like me to start probing? Might you not be tempted to get your blow in first?
A preemptive strike, huh?
Quite, Charles. Lucas had to take the slight risk of pointing me at something he was involved in because he needed a background he could control. He set me onto Eddie Keith because Eddie was innocent. When Lucas wrote for me to Henry Thrace in connection with Gleaner, I begged him not to mention my name, but within days, he told Henry Thrace that it was I. Huh? Not the jockey club who really wanted to know if Gleaner had died. Anything that got me killed, somehow would have been a bonus to him. In fact, Trevor Deansgate might have been the sort to oblige. And he did make threats, and nasty ones.
Well, were they serious?
Yes, they were serious enough. Anyway, listen. Please, gentlemen. Mamelies and his yobs took to following me, so I kept out of their way for a week or two. During that time, I learned that he was manipulating, not four, but 20 syndicates.
Oh, shit.
Last Tuesday, as you know, Chico and I came here and spilled the beans, and Lucas at last knew where I was. He insisted on taking us up to Newmarket in his own car, and afterwards drove us to where the Scots were waiting for us, and they set about deterring us. And I heard one of them tell Peter Ramillies that that was as much as they were ordered to do. Now, presumably by somebody else.
Is that all, Sid?
Not quite. There is the matter of Mason. I asked my father-in-law here to go to Tunbridge Wells yesterday to ask about him.
Sid asked me to see if Mason even existed. I saw the police down there, and they'd never heard of him. Or anybody else found beaten to a pulp in their streets.
He was just a scare story invented by Lucas, another deterrent.
But the deterrents haven't worked, sir.
Now, I wouldn't be too sure. Neither Chico nor I would risk another dose of what we got. Photos, Charles.
Oh, yeah. Look at these, Sir Thomas. That's Mr. Barnes.
Good God! What did the damage, sir?
It was a chain.
Pass them round, gentlemen. Was this done to you as well, Sid?
Yep.
May I ask you to remove your shirt?
Surely all you have got to do is tell Lucas I know what he's been up to and ask him to resign. Now, we don't want the police to be in on it, do we?
Even so, the resignation of the Director of Security is serious enough. Come on, Sid.
What the hell?
I think you'll agree, gentlemen, that this is dreadful.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Sid. Would you ask Commander Wainwright to come in here, please?
Lucas walked in briskly, saw me, and nearly fainted. Sir Thomas indicated a chair, and Lucas fumbled his way to it. He stared at me as though I were the ghost of Banquo. Sir Thomas told him that I'd made some allegations, and repeated more or less everything I'd told them. Suddenly, the accused man rallied and denied the lot. It was beginning to seem like my word against his. But the feeling of the meeting, as I say, was wholly in my favour. To clinch the matter, though, I flashed my ace.
I could also start looking for the real reasons behind all this. Trace the rumours of corruption to their source.
find out who, besides Peter Ramillies, is keeping you in Mercedes.
Would you be prepared for that, Lucas?
Yes, of course.
Lucas, I think if you resigned, it would be the end of it.
Yes.
That's all, Lucas. Just your resignation now in writing. If we had that, I would see no reason to proceed any further. The wording's up to you.
I resign from the post of Director of Security to the Jockey Club. Lucas Wainwright. I think that will do, don't you, gentlemen?
You may leave now, Lucas.
As he left, Lucas fixed me with a stare of wonder and disbelief. On his lips was an unspoken question. What does it take to stop you, Harry? As I drove to my flat a few days later, Louise filled my thoughts with the promise of pleasure. But not completely. Some niggling fear that dared not speak its name skulked in the back of my mind. And as I put the car away in the garage and closed the roll-up door, it left its shadowy den and pounced.
Sid Alley.
Huh?
God, you. You sound surprised. Can't have forgotten. And you can't have forgotten my friend here. Fully loaded and raring to go. We've been waiting for you, my friend and I, since last Thursday. You know what happened last Thursday? Two policemen came to see me. George Casper telephoned. The Jockey Club warned me they were going to take proceedings. My solicitor told me I'd lose my bookmaking license. I'd be warned off from racing and might well go to jail. The police have been to the lab. My brother is losing his job and his career, in fact. And all because somebody not 2 yards from me couldn't do as he was told.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. You know about gambling. You lost this one. Why not accept it?
I made a promise. If you shot your mouth off, I'd shoot your hand off. I've come to keep my promise.
Somebody will hear you.
It's chucking it down out there. Nobody will be hanging about. Anyway, it'll sound like a garage door. It's going to happen. Make your mind up to that. Think about it, Hallie. Was it worth it? The cost of getting me busted? No hands at all, just 2 stumps. A proper cripple, not half a one. Should put pay to your love knife, if you have one. Should they go to the bog a bit tricky? You're a bloody fool, man, a bloody fool! What, no reaction? Right. Let's see how you like this then. Back up against the wall. Move. Now, stretch your arm out to the side, clear of your body.
Go on!
The pep of your guts. That's it. Hold it there. Do you want to say goodbye to it? No? Here we go then. With you.
What?
Why aren't you down on your knees? You might talk me out of it. You never know. But why did you beg for mercy? Well, Harry, you can thank your stars that unlike you, I'm not a bloody fool. Before you came today, I got to thinking about myself. I thought how nice revenge would feel. Hideous, delightful revenge. But then I thought about the penalty. 10 years I'd get at least. You can get life for GBH. I decided it wasn't worth it. I decided I'd settle for scaring you witless. I'd tell people I had you. Crawling to me. Make them snigger. And make your life a misery. But of thought you'd been frightened off when I first threatened you all those weeks ago. I might have known you wouldn't be frightened either when I carried it out. You're not afraid of anything, are you? Well, say something, for God's sake!
Now, can I put my arm down there?
Yes. Yes! One question. Isn't there anything that you're afraid of?
So, that which had wrecked my marriage had given me the whip hand over two prize villains. Trevor Deansgate had given me back what he'd taken from me in that barn. At the weekend, Louise and I boarded a jet for Paris. I to exorcise another hobgoblin, and both of us to enjoy the time of our lives.
In the final episode of Whip Hand by Dick Francis, Sid was played by Mick Ford, Chico by Kim Durham, Wainwright David Neal, Charles Simon Carter, Ramillies Andy Hockley, Rosemary Patricia Gallimore, Alliston Jeff Searle, Armadale David Van, Louise Susan Sheridan, Martin England, Christopher England. Dramatized by Alan England, Whip Hand was directed at Pebble Mill by Philip Martin.